Exodus chapter number 33. Let's get there. Turn in your Bibles there. So we'll go to about 7:05. That will make sure that y'all have time to go out there and meet Marcus and Elizabeth. Mark and Elizabeth, learn more about their desire to go to Brazil and continue the work that was started by Elizabeth's mom and dad, who are now at the age where they will not be able to continue doing that work forever. And there is a piece of property there that doesn't need to be lost to the devil. It needs to continue to have a gospel presence there. Let me remind you, so those of you that are joining us for the first time, in chapter number 32 is the giant incident of the golden calf. And Moses is up getting the law, and he comes down, and Aaron says, man, I don't know how it happened, but there's just this calf, and all of a sudden we're worshiping it. I mean, that's really the lame excuse he gives. Read the text. It's pretty pitiful. And God's not okay with this. And with an evil intent did he bring them to kill them out to the mountains and consume them is Moses' language in verse number 11, 12 of chapter 32 as he's interceding on behalf of his people. And then in chapter number 3, God says, you're going to get to go. I'm not going with you. I'll send an angel, but if I go with you, I'm going to smoke you guys. And so it's just best that I not go with you. And Moses is not willing to go without God. And that'll preach. Moses said to them in verse number 12 to the Lord, See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. And he said, my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. And I'd like to pick us up tonight in verse number 15 with, and he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. And this is very interesting. Look at the text. In verse number 14, God says, my presence will go with you. And Moses says, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. I said last week, it's almost as if Moses didn't hear what he said. Like he was so rehearsed in what he was going to say next that he missed the point that God had already told him, I'm going to go with you. I moved from not going to going. And yet we see the heart of Moses here. We see his heart. It's incredible. If you will not go with me, we'll just stay right here. We'll just stay right here. Now, you know where they're at, right? They're not in Myrtle Beach. Okay? They're not anywhere where it's good to stay. They're in the wilderness. They're in the wilderness. Now, get this straight. I would rather be in the wilderness with you than to be in the land of milk and honey without you. Now, that's the contrast here. And it's giant. I would rather be with you in this dusty, barren, dirty, nasty, no water, no food place, than to go to the place. Remember how the spies defined and described the land of Cana? They got big bananas and grapes, and the cheese tastes great there. I'm hyperbole a little bit here, but it's awesome. It's great there. But Moses says, I don't want to go there. Moses doesn't want to go to the land of milk and honey without the presence of God. An angel will not do. By the way, we sure do get all excited about angels, don't we? Yeah, some people do, right, sister? Some people. We don't need to worry about angels. That's God's business, right? What do we want, church? Him. That's right. We want Christ. We want Him. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight? I and your people. Is it not in your going with us? And this phrase really stuck out at me. I'd like you to underline it in your Bible. So that we are distinct. So that we are distinct. Distinct. We love this idea. There's a couple Rangers here. These guys are up from Savannah, Georgia. And it's a former Ranger, Savannah, Georgia. It's kind of your two cheerleaders right here. And Steve, back when I was in the Army, back in the day, when you guys were in elementary school, Rangers were distinct, and they were distinct by a couple ways. They always had high and tights, and they wore a black beret. And I remember when the chief of staff, how many can remember when the chief of staff decided that everyone was going to black berets, and the Rangers had fits with that because that was what made them distinct. Now, we're not picking on the Rangers right now. We're talking about distinct. And I want you to see this. Moses is arguing with God. Moses is pleading with God. Moses is saying to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. What's your argument, Moses? Verse 16. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight? Not just I and your people. So I could say, if I wanted to say it, I could say, for how shall it be known that I and your people, that we have found favor in your sight? Is it not in your going with us? Now, why is it so important that he goes with them? What's it say? What's it say? Look at the words in your Bible. So that, what's your Bible say? So that we, what's your Bible say? Are distinct. I need you to see that. We are supposed to be a distinct people. That the presence of God in our life, that the presence of God in our lives is supposed to make us distinct. It's supposed to set us apart. Here's the word distinct. Or the Greek, the Hebrew here word is set apart. Marvelous. Put a difference. The outline from Blue Letter Bible is to be distinct, marked out, to be separated, to be distinguished. Distinct indicates that something is distinguished by the mind or eye as being apart or different from others. That's us. We're supposed to be the distinct ones on the planet. What words are in the New Testament to describe that kind of distinctives? What words did Jesus use? One thing he called us is salt. Peculiar. What else? Light. Yeah. He says, in fact, if the salt has lost its what? Its saltiness, its ability to be distinguished, then what's it good for? Church, what's it good for? Nothing. To trod underfoot. Now think about that. To trod underfoot. If you put this in your mouth and it does nothing for you, can't taste it, doesn't taste different, then throw it away. It's good for nothing but to be walked on. I don't think we grasp this enough. I don't think we're focusing on it. I think that we've had a problem in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s as fundamentalists. And we kind of identified a few things like, well, we don't have tattoos. That makes us distinct. We don't use tobacco unless it's Kentucky or North Carolina and you're in a Southern Baptist church. But other than that, or you wear dresses, right? That sets us apart. And we're supposed to be distinct. And I'm not suggesting that you start smoking by any means. But I would suggest that our distinctness has got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that. So the question is, how does the presence of God make us distinct? How does the presence of God make us distinct? How does the presence of God make us distinct? Or how does the presence of the Lord set us apart? All right, you said love each other. Okay, I'll go there. Love each other. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, please? Because I would like to talk about what Paul says about this idea. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. I would like to compare, and the reason we're going here, I want to show you why we're going here. Where's Marcus and his family? I can't place them. Wave at me. All right, all the way in the back. Okay, great. Bothers me when I can't figure out where someone is. And so I'm thinking about preaching and thinking about where they're at simultaneously. So I need to stop doing that. Would you please notice, I will make my dwelling among them. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm comparing Moses, who says, we don't want to go there if you're not going with us. And God says, okay, I'll go with you. So is God going with them to the promised land? Yes. And I want you to see that Paul says that we are the temple of the living God. We are the temple of the living God. We are. And God says, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So in the Old Testament, the Israelites were the people of God. Yes or no? Yes. And was God going with them? And would he walk with them? And in the New Testament, that's us, in the New Covenant, who are the people of God? We are. We are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. He tabernacles among us, and he says, I will go with you, and I will walk with you, and I will be in you. So do we have his presence? We do have his presence. All right. We have his presence. So is it a fair comparison between Exodus 33 and this passage in Corinthians? Is it a fair comparison? All right, let's keep reading. Therefore, go out from their midst and be, what's the word? Separate. Be separate. Be separate from them. Be separate from them. Be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. So are we also called to be distinct? Yes, we are. And here's the reality. We're not doing a very good job. We're not doing a very good job. What does the unsaved world think of us? Not much. Hypocrites. We say no to everything. We're no fun. What does the unsaved world think of us? What does the unsaved world think of us? Yeah. We're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be separate. And this is an amazing struggle. This is really hard. We are in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. What does that look like? What does it smell like? How do we figure this out? We wear the clothing that the world wears. We walk on the carpet that the world walks on. We eat at the restaurants that they eat at. And it goes on and on and on. But we, all of us in this room, are all supposed to be drawing what? Lines. For example, do we listen to the music they listen to? Do we watch the movies that they watch? Do we use the language that they use? All you guys in uniform, you're going to don your uniform tomorrow morning. And God says, I'm going to go with you. Yeah, I'm going with you. Yep. Where are you going? FTX, me too. You're going to a rifle range. I am too. What does he say? I will walk with you. Not just Sunday. And not just Wednesday. He says, in the Old Testament, my people were Israel, and I went with them to the promised land. But in the New Covenant, I'm going to put my spirit inside you, and you will be the temple of the living God, and I will go with you. Sister, you're going to college, right? Make sure we pray for you, and make sure we pray for the missionaries, okay, John? Don't let me forget. We're going to pray for you going to college, and we're going to pray for you guys traveling mercies and all that. But you need to know he's going with you. He's going with you. He's going with you. And you're going to Pensacola Christian College, right? And the fact that it's a Christian college doesn't mean everyone's a Christian. And the fact that it's a Christian college doesn't mean that you don't need to be separate. there's going to be some students down there that are real, and there's going to be some students down there that are perpetrating a fraud, and you've got to figure out who's real and who's perpetrating a fraud. And don't take this wrong, sister, but I hope you're not perpetrating a fraud. Because he's calling us to be separate, distinct. And we used to just do a couple things like we wore dresses, they didn't. I'm talking about ladies. And a few things like that. I need to clarify that in the year 2019. But we've got to really take a look at this idea of separate. Our struggle, and I don't mean Brian in particular, but the church doesn't agree with what we should separate from. The church does not. I promise you, if we pulled this audience with that thing that Steve did on Wednesday night, where you can just text, and I said to you, is there anything wrong with smoking marijuana? We would not agree in this church. We would not agree. And if we went beyond the walls of Brian and we went to all Baptist churches in the city of Fayetteville, we would not agree on whether smoking marijuana makes us separate or not. And I promise you, if we talked about alcohol tonight, we would get into fist fights in this auditorium over alcohol. We don't have agreements on that. But what we cannot disagree on is the requirement that God has called us to be distinct. God has called us to be distinct. If I go with you to work tomorrow and I'm on your shoulder all day as the little preacher just up on your shoulder, are you distinct? Are you distinct? Who's going to college this week? Who's going to college? Raise your hand if you're going to college this week. Anybody? You're going? There's another one going to college. There's another one over there going to college. Anybody else going to college? All the way in the back going to college? Yeah, 4, 5. Are you distinct? When you say something in the classroom, would it sound like you're distinct? Would anybody know that there's the presence of the living God with you, with the way you talk, with the way you say things, the way you treat others? What are the things we must cleanse ourselves from? What are the things we must cleanse ourselves from? Where are you getting cleanse ourselves from? Please understand what it says. Touch no unclean thing. He says it very clearly. Therefore, go out from the midst and be separate from the Lord, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. Look, I know that we watch movies. I know we go to the theater. We used to not do that here at Berean Baptist Church. Raise your hand if you remember those days. We didn't go to the movies. I'm not here. I'm not here to say we shouldn't go to the movies. Especially those that have those lazy boy, those recliner things right there, man. They're heated. Wow. On a cold day like this, going somewhere with a heated seat. But here's what we're called to do. Listen to me very closely. We're called to get up and leave the theater if the movie goes south. There's only a few of you saying amen. I don't understand that. You don't know sometimes. Maybe you think a movie's going to be okay, Jeff. You did a little research and you thought it was okay, but then you get in and you go, this is not edifying. This is not God glorifying. I can't take the F word one more time. And you know what you do? You get up and you walk out because God has called us to be distinct, separate. But I paid money for that. Give it as an offering. Just be done with it. In other words, you and I have to understand that yes, we're in the world, but we are separate. We are distinct. Now, we can have the fist fight over whether drinking a beer is an issue or not, but we're not going to have a fight over drunkenness. Because when you're drunk, you are not distinct. And every one of you have to figure out whatever your limit is. And it's not just your limit, it's also your testimony. And that's why you won't see me doing that, because I have a testimony. Everywhere I go, I was at the bank the other day, and I never go to the bank unless it's for H&H stuff. And she was asking me about the preschool and or the kindergarten, whether we had slots open. And I don't walk in and go, I'm Pastor Sean Harris of Berean Baptist Church. I walk in the bank with my little slips and say hello to them. But they knew. And we go to Harris Teeter enough. We go to Harris Teeter all. We're like, we live at Harris Teeter. And so people know me there. So if I'm pushing a shopping cart with a suitcase in it, you know what I mean by a suitcase, right, Ranger? Yeah, see? I knew it. Yeah. That's where you stack a whole lot of beers in a cardboard thing. Well, actually, this is for 8 weeks. I'm just buying it on sale. Nobody thinks about that. What's your point? Not only am I thinking about the prohibition, I'm thinking about my need, sister, to be a testimony. A testimony. I'm called to be distinct. So the question is, what are the things that we must cleanse ourselves from? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. So we're going back to the first letter that Paul wrote the church at Corinth. And this is Paul the apostle instructing us under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 9. Listen to me, please, young people. I am pleading to you to listen to me tonight. Chapter number 5. I wrote to you in my letter. Paul says, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexual immoral of this world or the greedy or the swindlers or the idolaters. Since then, you'd need to leave the planet. See it? You'd have to live on the moon. Look, I know that you're going to go to FTCC and in your classroom there's going to be sexual immoral people. I know you're going to go to Methodist University and in your classroom there's going to be idolaters and swindlers. I know you're going to work at Chick-fil-A. I know you're going to work at Mission Barbecue. I know you're going to be those places. And at those places, there are going to be people that do that. I got it. In your company, in your platoon, in your squad. I got it. This is Paul. And you're going to have some degree of association, brother. You're going to have to speak to them. You're going to have to interact with them. You can't just be a jerk.
I don't talk to you.
No, you're going to have to talk to them. You're going to have that on your travel volleyball team. You're going to have to talk to them. You associate. We live on this planet. Nod your heads if you're tracking what I'm saying. But what's he say next? What's he say next? But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he's guilty of sexual immorality. Why are you bringing this up? I'm bringing it up because it was a problem in the Baptist church in the 70s. It was a problem in the Baptist church in the 80s. It was a problem in the Baptist church in the 90s. It was a problem in the Baptist church in 2000. It's a problem in the Baptist church in the year 2019. We have this facade of looking like a Christian. I wear a suit. I carry my Bible on Sunday. And we are just, in many cases, in some cases, as immoral as the world. What I'm suggesting to you is that the presence of God in our lives is supposed to make us different. And Paul is so concerned about this that he says, you don't associate with that person. And we don't do that. We don't take this admonishment. Sister, when you go down to college and you realize that there's someone down there perpetrating a fraud, don't associate with them. Do you understand they take you down? About 4 weeks ago, Seth, I had a couple in my office, an older couple, and they were talking about their boy. And he went to one of the public schools. I won't say the name because there's no point in disparaging one. Freshman year in high school. And they described their son as articulate, intelligent, highly athletic. You know, the all-American kid. And he started hanging around those who smoke marijuana. And sister, at first it was just recreational. It was just occasional. You know, I got this under control. And they lost their boy, brother. They lost their boy. They described losing their son. They lost their son to marijuana. They lost their son to marijuana. I mean, the grades, the sports, the concern for God. I'm just sitting across the table and I'm literally thinking to myself, I wish I could videotape this. I wish I could show it to the church because I know they're always, you're just so emotional and passionate about these things. You know why? Come walk in my footsteps for a week. It's real, John. It's real. Like you, Caleb, sharp as a tack. I think Caleb has a real love for the Lord. At least I hope so. But how quick can a kid like that, a young man like that, just go down the tubes through who he associates with? He says so clearly, do not associate. I'm now writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he's guilty of sexual immorality or greed or idolatry or revivalry or is a drunkard. And I think today Paul would talk about potheads. You offended me. So be it. So be it. I don't want to go to a church like this. Go somewhere else then. Go somewhere else. I see alcohol wrecking lives. I see marijuana destroying lives. I see problem after problem with it. I don't see it like you see it. Sorry. You're preaching tonight. Yes. We're not teaching tonight. No. No, we're not. No, you're hearing from a shepherd who has to care for a congregation, who has a responsibility to admonish parents to hold the line. Oh, I know. I know we're not the 70s or the 80s or the 90s fundamentalists anymore. I got it. We do go to the movies. Okay, go to the movies. Enjoy a great movie. But when do you as a dad draw the line? When have you ever went to a movie theater and you've said, you know what? We don't need to hear one more word out of this mouth. We're out of here. And you grab your family and you leave. Why would I do such a thing? To show your family that we are distinct, Steve, that we're called to be different. Or how about at home? Have you turned it off? That garbage has got to be done. Have you ever walked in the room and said, walked right up to television? I mean, rudely. I mean, just right in front of the television. Turn it right off. We don't watch that garbage in this house. Or is there anything that would meet that criteria? Seriously, I'm asking you, is there anything? How garbage would it take for you to turn it off? Is the F word fine? Are you going to blast the F word? Are you hearing me? See, why are you preaching like this? Because we are the ones that are called to be distinct. And every one of you are Sunday school classes. Every one of you. There's the Sunday school class. Don Adams is the Sunday school class. Steve Wilson is the Sunday school class. Sunday school class right here. Who in your Sunday school class is the one that offers the comment that reminds us of the orthodox distinction that we're supposed to have? Because here's the reality. You're here on Sunday night. You have separated yourself just by being here on Sunday night. And to that, I say thank you. And so what I'm doing right now is admonishing you, me. I'm admonishing you to join me in the effort to shepherd this big congregation of 800 people. Because I can't shepherd them by myself. I can't be in every conversation. I can't be in the nursery where there's a conversation. I can't be in your Sunday school class when this topic comes up. Is anybody going to speak for the orthodox position of God still calling his people to be separate? Facebook. Does anybody admonish somebody on Facebook? And I don't mean publicly. Call them up. Call them up. Imagine what you would think of me as a preacher if I was posting Speedo pictures of myself on Facebook. You're repulsed at that. And you should be. Got it. What's your point? What's your point, Pastor Sean? Why is it repulsive for a male to do it, but it's okay for a female? Huh? Hello? Right? If I started doing it, there would be folks that were saying, hey, whoa, this guy, whoa. Hello? There's a double standard. You sure are fired up tonight. I wish you could have been with me on some phone calls this week. I wish you could have eavesdropped on some conversations that I had with some parents this week. I wish you could come walk in my life. What do you think tops the vice list in the New Testament more than anything else? You know how I'm using, you know what a vice is, right? What's a vice? Somebody tell me what a vice is. A sin. That's right. And your New Testament is full of sin lists. It's just where he starts listing sins. I know it's not popular to talk about sin anymore. I know that the cool church doesn't talk about sin. John, what was it, 4 weeks ago that giant church right over there on Cape Fear with their preacher? That's exactly right, John. Do a Google search. I mean, not a Google search, a Blue Letter Bible search. Go ahead, search it. Take the time. Go on Blue Letter Bible and search it. Go to the advice list and just search it. Number one, sexual sins. Number one, hands down, sexual sins. Hands down. Sexual immorality, adultery, and homosexuality. That tops the list. It tops the list. I remember, I can't remember what year it was, but several years ago, sister, I said to the church, could we go 1 year with no church discipline cases on sexual sin? How many remember when I asked the church, could we go 1 year? Could we just go 1 year? Yeah. Could we just go 1 year? Well, can I tell you, in 2018, we didn't go 1 year. We didn't. We didn't. We have a young man right now that's a church member, and the reason he's not in church is because he's sleeping with his girlfriend. And here's what I know to be true. Young people are still hanging out with him. Single adults are still hanging out with him. In other words, you are ignoring Paul's prohibition. Because Paul's prohibition is that if he's a member of the church, that means he claims to be a part of the body of Christ, and he's involved in sexual immorality, then you don't keep hanging out with him. But this man shows up on Sunday morning, and everybody shakes his hand just like it's normal. Good to see you. And we all know the reason he's not doing what he's supposed to do is because he's now sleeping with his fiance. And it's just too hard to confront sin. So you know what we do? We just, hey, man, how you doing? We shake his hand and act like it's all fine. And I just need you to see that if we're called to be distinct because the presence of God is with us, then it ain't Pastor Sean's problem.
That's right.
It's our problem. It's our problem. It's our problem. Our problem. It's ours. And I'm able to draw a distinction between a young person who makes a mistake and repents of their sin. Glory to God for young people who make mistakes and repent of their sin. And if they repent of their sin, they're forgiven and welcome in the body of Christ. But Sunday after Sunday, Saturday night after Saturday night, Tuesday night after Tuesday night, shacking up after shacking up is not repenting of your sin. It's ignoring God's word. I mean, the text is so clear. The text is just abundantly clear. I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he's guilty of sexual immorality, if he's greedy, if he's an idolater, if he's a reviler, if he's a drunkard, if he's a swindler. And then he says, if that's not clear enough to you, he says, look at these words, you can hear Paul, not even to eat with such a one. In the top, he says, not associate. In the bottom, he says, you don't even eat with them. For what have I to do judging the outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? Woo! I thought we weren't to judge. You thought wrong. You have to make a judgment. Seth, you're going to have to make a judgment as to who you're going to hang out with and who you're not going to hang out with. And you know what you're judging? Good moral character, bad moral character. That's what you're judging. Positive influence in my life, negative influence in my life. A good person to hang out with, a bad person to hang out with. You're going to have to make that decision. You too, sister. And the moment that boyfriend of yours is no longer a good influence, you're done with him. Cut him like sling load. Army guys, you understand that idea, right? Bam! Sling load is when something's below a helicopter. And anytime the pilot thinks that it's dangerous, you know what he does, Nate? He cuts sling load. And it doesn't matter what it is, it just goes dropping to the ground. And there are times in your life when you're going to have to say, I'm sorry, brother, we're done. And that means we're not Facebook friends anymore or Instagram or whatever social media platform. Yeah. Is this hard? Of course it's hard. If it wasn't hard, church, everyone would do it. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. It's hard. Are you going to get called names? Yeah, you sure are. Preacher boy, Bible lover. Wow, I'm suffering for Jesus. They call me Bible boy. Yeah. Think about what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. We send missionaries overseas to Muslim countries to expect Muslims to repudiate their entire families and follow Jesus, and we don't want to be called preacher boy. When you go to ECU, you're not going to fit in. And if you can go to ECU and fit in, there's a giant problem because you're supposed to be what church? Distinct. Let's pray. God Almighty, call us to be distinct. Call us to be distinct in a mighty, mighty way. Help each and every one of us to analyze our lives and determine whether we are serious about having the presence of God in our lives. And if we have the presence of God in our lives, that is, we know that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. Then we need to seriously examine the degree to which the Holy Spirit is making us distinct. And if there's an area in which we're not distinct, our language, our appearance, our deportment, then I would ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal it to us so that we can be distinct.